What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Land Grant Holy Lands I-70 Football Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jordan. I'm here with my co-host, Dante.
I'm over here dying, so I didn't get water.
Oh, man. That's rough. That's rough.
I'm usually always prepared and didn't bring water. Get water before
starting recording. Well, it's been a long weekend for me, personally, and you don't have water, and neither one of us wants to talk about the teams on this list. So, is this one of those ones where we shoot for an hour?
Ooh, maybe less.
Even better. All right, so let's get into it. We don't got no time to waste. Kirk Ferentz, this is how it's starting, and I'll elaborate on this later because we're going to try to be under an hour. Kirk Ferentz doesn't believe in staff changes. And this is not me saying that.
Did he say that? He came out and said it?
Yes. In an interview, he said, I can't remember the name of the coach, but the coach that was there before him, he said, in my 9 years working for this coach or whoever, nobody got fired. I don't believe in firing staff. This man is running the biggest grift possible.
He legit said, I don't believe in upgrading.
Yeah. Fine. Yes.
That's fine. But exactly. Iowa, just know, you will be terrible this upcoming future, because two teams that are better than you offensively and can become better than you defensively are being added to your conference, and you're definitely losing. Not conference, but whatever. Yeah, conference, and then you're losing divisions or whatever.
Yep, it's gonna be very bad.
And he don't want to give it. They gotta fire him. They gotta fire him.
And he's older, so maybe I don't know how it works, but I know sometimes in the business world, you can
his wife
force people to retire.
How predictable!
I'm trying to find the exact quote so y'all don't think I'm lying, and Google didn't have it, but I know I saw it all.
But he not even old, so it doesn't even make sense to be like, I don't believe in firing people. Like, you're 67. You definitely believe in firing people. Like,
oh God, where's it at? I have to find it. Oh my God, this is gonna make you laugh. Kirk Ferentz references the Steelers not firing coaches and coordinators.
What? No, hold on.
Yes, he did.
Because that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. We have been successful with our coaches. That is why. We've been playoff at least with the coach we have now. We haven't had a losing record since he's been there. Haven't had one. Bill Cowher made the playoffs almost every year. Ain't won a Super Bowl and attended two, I believe. Made it to two, won one. Mike Tomlin's been to two and won one, if not three. At least I've been alive for three Super Bowl appearances. So Mike Tomlin's been to two, won one. We've definitely fired coordinators. We fired coordinators. We got rid of what's the name? The defensive coordinator. I can't think of his name, but he was there for so long. I love him. Can't think of his name, though. But we got rid of him after it was too late. It was too late, but we got rid of him eventually. We get rid of offensive coordinators. He's just making up stuff.
Yeah, basically.
To save an argument. That makes no sense. Not only that, for some odd reason, Mike Tomlin's been on the hot seat almost every year.
Whoa.
At least in the media. Not to the Steelers, but in the media, he's been on the hot seat every year. Even though he doesn't lose. I mean, he loses, but you know.
You know, I don't know that I would say for some reason. I think we know what the reason is.
Of course.
Okay, I found it. Here it is. I want y'all to understand, this is word for word. As I stand here today, I anticipate no changes to our staff moving forward. That's my plan. Certainly, I think we have a terrific staff, and I thought they did a great job last year in tough circumstances and navigated us through some big challenges.
Hold on.
I thought our guys coached us at a high level.
Had one of the worst offenses I've ever seen in my life. How many schools are there in the country?
131.
You lying update. He said he did a great come all right, cool.
He said, we've got the right coaches in place. History has proven that. We've seen success with this coaching staff and plan on moving forward. I think we're primed to have a good year.
What do we consider success? Playing in the Big Ten championship game once?
Must be. So this article didn't put in the quote about nobody else being fired, and I think people are trying to scrub that. I definitely see it. He said, this is what he said about, I'm reading all of these quotes because I have to, and then we can move on. Kirk Ferentz on retaining Brian as OC. It's not going to look radically different. I think we've been consistent in our approach for 24 years. The things I'm focused on is the points. We've had years like this. It's not much fun, but I'm optimistic.
Years like this?
Yeah.
This is multiple. All I've known you to be.
Yep. I think we've taken steps already in terms of addressing our problems. It's going to help us to have a more veteran line and outside. Having two tight ends that are good football players will help us outside. I think we have a pretty good quarterback. We have the right coaches in place. I already said that one. Yeah.
We have a pretty good quarterback.
They got Cade McNamara from Michigan, who's not a pretty good quarterback. Maybe better what they had. Maybe better than what they had last year, but
the only reason why Minnesota's quarterback threw for less yards is because of injuries.
Multiple injuries.
Multiple
and
injuries.
And he still had more touchdowns.
If by far. But if I'm...
He almost doubled them.
Nah, just about. But if I have... And then... Five touchdowns, five interceptions.
Yeah.
You're literally 1-1.
Yeah.
And then I just,
yep.
And he was healthy all year, bro. All right.
Exactly.
That's a great line. That is the greatest. That's just beautiful.
I'm telling
line.
You, he's the greatest grifter of all time. Like,
that's just a poker face right there. That's straight BS. I know I'm not getting fired, so why should I fire anybody else? Because I know I'm not getting fired.
I know the coaches work, right? Obviously. But they haven't started spring ball. So how can you even sit up there and say, we've made the changes and I'm confident? You haven't seen the changes anywhere but on paper. Unless they're running illegal practices up there, which I know they're not, all your players are doing is lifting weights. You can't have practice. Like, their practice hasn't started. So what are you seeing? Okay. sure, Kirk. we believe you. Oh my god, yeah. So I'm gonna save my anger for later on because we have a shorter show.
I was about to be like, we could just skip the news, skip the playoffs, and go straight into talking about them for real, for real.
Let's talk about them, and then we'll come back to that.
We can go back because the quote is outrageous. The quote's outrageous. So when you say success, when he's saying success, technically, I guess.
I mean, because technically, they've made one or two Big Ten championship games, but they've gotten blown out in both of them.
And then you've played in bowl games. I guess you haven't had losing records, but that's just because your defense is just that spectacular.
And because everyone else on the other side is worse than you every other year. Like, some of those years was when Northwestern was doing their work good every other year. Some of those years you just capitalized on a bad Northwestern year or a bad Wisconsin year.
And like, it's not like you're like dominating these teams or we know you're going to win them coming into them. You're winning by like a field goal, two points, 1 point. Like,
we've had success.
You're
with this
5-4, and you're in the Big Ten. That's not successful. Mm-hmm. You were better last year.
You lost to Ohio State and Michigan,
and that was
those teams are successful.
Yeah.
If that was the only teams you lost to, it's like, okay, all right. I get it. It's fine. What do we like? And the thing that keeps blowing me,
you mean like,
is he keeps saying history? My thing is,
you're supposed to learn
from your mistakes. You're not supposed to repeat history. So if you're literally sitting here saying, "Oh, history has proven us right," That, first of all, that means you don't want anything better for your program than winning 7 or 8 games, making it to the Big Ten championship game once every maybe, 4 or 5 years, maybe, and then getting blown out.
And then maybe winning your bowl game. Maybe. Because if you run into a good offense, oh no.
And I think they're 1-1 in their last 2 bowl games because they played Kentucky 2 years in a row. And I think they won one and lost one.
And they won the one last year.
Yep, I'm pretty sure that they lost the year before.
Man, please.
I'm really at a loss for words because it, like, the hubris, the nerve, the audacity. It's
the audacity to have a quarterback to only throw for 1,700 yards.
How is that possible?
And play the entire season, I believe.
I think they sat him for one game. So Why? He played 12 or 13 games.
So he played the entire season.
Yes.
Literally. And threw for 1,700 yards. That is half a season's type of stats.
This is what they believe is going to.
They can't score.
This is what they believe is going to get better.
You should have put the kicker up here instead of the quarterback.
Honestly, I really should have. So this is what they think is going to get better. First game, 7 points. Second game, 7 points. Third game, 27 points, but against Nevada. Fourth game, 27 points against Rutgers. Fifth game, 14. Sixth game, six. No, six. Illinois had 9. 6. And then they put 10 against Ohio State. Then they had 33, but it was against Northwestern.
Yeah.
Then they had 24 against Purdue, 24 against Wisconsin. This is when people were like, oh, they figured it out.
Yeah.
33, 24, and 24. And then they immediately went back to 13, 17. And then they scored 21 in the bowl game against Kentucky, who was playing without their quarterback.
Bro, the running back has more touchdowns. Let me. Because it doesn't make for your team. For your team to usually your offense starts probably a positive to 50 yard line most of the time, especially last year, but this year because your defense gets so many turnovers. And there's sometimes you don't come out with any points. I swear I was watching them. They got an interception or it was a fumble. Iowa started the ball at like the 23 yard line, so pretty much looking at the red zone, came away with no points.
That was Ohio State, wasn't it?
No.
I'm pretty sure that happened against Ohio State, too.
I'm sure it did, but that wasn't the game I was watching. You thought I tuned in and paid attention to Ohio State and Iowa?
I don't know.
It wasn't even on the screen.
Oh, God.
I don't even think Ohio State showed up, and they still blew them out.
Oh, this is just so bad. This is so bad.
5 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
12 games, and you only threw for 5 touchdowns.
You didn't even throw a touchdown in every game. You didn't throw a touchdown in half of the games.
No.
And there was probably one or two of these games. There was probably at least one of these games where he had 2 touchdowns. So hold on. Now I actually have
I doubt it because I promise you in those games where it was 33, 24, and 27, the defense scored.
Hold on.
And I think the defense scored twice, or it was like a kick return for a touchdown, and then all they did was field goals. This man threw 5 touchdowns. I want y'all to understand Morgan for Minnesota played, I want to say maybe 10, maybe 9 games, 9 touchdowns for 1,300 yards. He played a full season. That's, I'll double everything. Almost,
especially because he played some of those games injured.
Yeah, 3,000 yards, almost 3,000 yards and 18 touchdowns. You looking at it like...
Bro, so college does their QBR a little bit different, so it goes a little bit higher than NFL. His QBR was 31.3.
I can understand a low number.
It was 114th in the country, and I don't know how it wasn't lower.
Who's the other 17 quarterbacks?
I don't think we want to get into that. I don't think we want to know. Okay. All right, so hold on. So 1, 2, 3, 4,
And it's not like Iowa has a bad offensive line, good offensive line.
Okay, so he played in 12 games. These are his touchdowns. 0, 0, 0. 2, I was right. He did throw 2 touchdowns in one of the games. 1, so he had 3 touchdowns in 2 games back-to-back. That was probably his best point of the season.
But we're 5 games in.
Yep. And then 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0. He threw touchdowns in 4 out of his 12 games. I want to say that again because I need y'all to listen to me. He threw touchdowns in 4 out of his 12 games. And 1/3 of his games, he threw touchdowns.
Just 1/3. And that's like, you look at his numbers and you'd be like, oh, was he hurt? No.
He had 4 games where he threw for under 100 yards.
So for a third of the season, he didn't even crack 100 yards passing.
And one of those games, the 5th game, he only threw for 109. So we might as well count that. Because if you average it all together in those 5 games, he would have averaged like 60, 65
yards. Does he have rushing touchdowns? Let me quit playing.
Somehow he has 3.
So together 8 still doesn't have as many passing yards.
And
there's nothing to fix.
Here is his
history. This is what history is showing us. This is history right here. Yeah. Technically,
since you want to talk about it, he got sacked 32 times. Somehow he has 3 rushing touchdowns. But here are his rushing stats. Oh, they're all QB sneaks.
They're all QB at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, yep. Because he had a rushing touchdown against Minnesota. His long was 1 rushing yard. QB sneak, that's a touchdown. And then the next game against Wisconsin, he had 1 yard long touchdown. And then his 3rd rushing touchdown, his long was 3 yards. So either that's a QB sneak or he just scrambled for a touchdown. But that was against Northwestern, so it doesn't count. It's Northwestern.
So that means he probably got like 36 rushing yards total for the whole season.
How many?
36.
Are you without sacks?
Oh.
Because if we're including sacks, he's at a negative 182. If we include sacks, he's at negative 182.
So without sacks.
I don't know how you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I forgot about sacks.
Yeah, because all of his rushing stats include sacks. He had 2 games out of 12 where he ended with a positive rush number, and both of those games it was 1 rushing yard.
So again, the history has shown us what success. I don't understand this unless you're only focusing on your defense, and that's what you're talking about. Then fine, have been half successful. But if you're half successful, you're not successful. So what are we talking about?
Literally, and the thing that I've been talking about this whole time, and what really started this, you need to fire your coaches, is looking at the future. You have USC and UCLA coming in. That's before Luke Fickell and Matt Rhule got hired. You have Jim Harbaugh won't go to the NFL because the NFL team, like, he's not leaving. Ryan Day's still here. James Franklin is still a better coach than you, so he's still here. You're losing divisions. You have all of these things. You need to get better. Like, you can't focus on history because the history was in divisions where you were in by far the weakest division. And didn't even win that every year.
Yeah, struggling in that. You could have easily been a dominant team if you had a competent offense. I mean, because we got to get through this. I don't even want to talk this long. I mean, running back, 779 yards, 6 touchdowns. Which is, 5 yards per carry is not bad. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
But you don't have a 1,000-yard rusher. It's crazy for an Iowa team that it seems to be like...
That can only run the ball.
Yeah, you talk about you got a run game in a defense.
Their best pass catcher was their tight end, which shouldn't happen. Even,
surprise me in the slightest.
Well, right. But even Travis Kelce, who has an argument for the greatest tight end of all time, doesn't typically lead his team. He may this year because they don't have a single wide receiver we can name, but in most years he doesn't. And I'm not even convinced he does this year. I can
name Juju.
Okay. You can name. I forgot Juju was on there. Okay. They have one wide receiver that we can name. Who are the other ones? They have the one dude.
There's the one dude who has two last names.
Is there?
Yeah. They have a dude that has.
The dude from Green Bay. Valdez Scantley or something like that.
Yes.
And then they have the dude that they traded for from the Giants.
Yeah, and then they got a rookie who just had a show out game in the last game.
Did they? Unless I watched that game.
Unless he's not a rookie, and then they do have a rookie running back, so that's probably who I'm getting mixed up with.
Yeah. Either way, 657 yards, one touchdown. Okay. Their total offense ranked 130.
One touchdown. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He only threw for five.
He had one fifth of his touchdowns, you know, he was doing something.
So he threw five touchdowns to five different receivers.
It had to be.
At least he's spreading them out.
Total offense 130 out of 131. Total defense number two. What?
Uh-huh. If you had a offense that was 80th.
My favorite stat: stop rate for defense. Number one, they stop people on 78.7% of drives.
Incredible. They should be the best team in the Big Ten.
Oh my God. By far.
Like, it shouldn't even be a question. If their team was 50th in offense, we'd be talking about Iowa as scary as hell. Because, like,
literally. Like, it would just be, it'd be so different.
You don't even have to, no one's saying to be top 10. If you were 50th with this defense, you could win a championship. Not just Big Ten, national. You'd be a favorite.
But they're never going to do that. They're never going to do that.
You would be a favorite. Everybody would be scared of you. Because
this year, Georgia's offense was decent, but last year, I'm pretty sure Georgia's offense was in like the 30s or the 40s.
It was like 30, 40.
Yeah. It was like top 10, top 15. It was better. But last year, it wasn't like spectacular. That's why people weren't sure that they could beat Alabama, because their offense wasn't that good.
This offense, and bro, if they were top 15, oh my God.
Crazy. So I don't want to talk about this no more. This is getting depressing. I'm so upset. I don't know how.
Nothing to change. How dare you?
Well, here's why he's never. You know what's going to have to happen? The president's going to have to fire him. He's going to have to fire the AD, because the AD won't fire him because the AD is in cahoots. Yeah. Because the AD is the reason why his son is on staff, because his son, quote unquote, reports to the AD, which means the AD could fire him even without the head coach's approval, because the head coach isn't his boss. It's the athletic director.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. Nah. Supposedly.
Everybody gotta go. That would have been my thing too. Cause I would have been like, are you, as soon as that quote came out as the president, I would have been like, is he serious?
Are you dead ass right now? All right. So,
okay. So playing in my face. Okay.
Oh, yep.
All right. Okay. No way. What a lie. Like, that is a crazy lie. It's almost admirable.
Almost.
Because he was so serious. It's very impressive to be able to lie and believe it.
I low key want to go back and watch the press conference just to see him say it. Like, what? Like, does he say it with conviction?
If he looks stern, like he believes it, I'm gonna be like, oh, that's just a delusional man. Cool.
Oh,
he just don't even see it. That's his problem.
Yeah, he doesn't. But all right, let's move on. let's move on. Some quick hitters. Ryan Day admitted that he is considering giving up play calling, and they have a plan for it, which is more than what I thought. But I'm still not going to get that excited because this doesn't mean that he's going to do it. But he is openly admitting.
I've considered it. A lot of things.
Well, okay, but okay. So
I've never done.
Right, exactly, which is why I'm not getting too excited. Yeah. But essentially, here's the plan. Brian Hartline is going to do the game planning and call plays during the spring. They're going to put him, because you should do this with your team anyway, especially with the new quarterback. They're going to put him in game-like scenarios, scrimmages, things like that, and let him call plays as if it was a real game. And they're, I'm guessing, not just Ryan Day, I'm guessing as a staff, they're going to evaluate it, maybe get some feedback from the quarterback. And if the team is, Ryan Day specifically, but the team and everyone is happy with what he's done, then there's a chance that Ryan Day lets him, like, passes on play calling. If he sucks at it, Ryan Day is going to keep it.
Now, I like how the plan is to just do normal shit.
Right. But it's like, typically, Ryan Day would be the one calling plays in this situation. Ryan Day is not going to call plays at all in the spring to see if, how Brian Hartline handles it.
So, okay. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll be able to tell once I see a screen on 3rd and 15 or some shit.
This is all I'm saying. I'm not going to get too excited. But I didn't even believe he was considering it. So this is a step in the right direction.
We just heard Kirk lie. What do you mean? You just told me another coach lied. Okay,
but at least if he's lying, he's lying about improvement. He's not lying and saying that everything is good. So
you got to, it's a different type of lie. You right. Yeah,
and hopefully he's not lying, but he very well could be. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not putting my faith in it. You're not hearing me saying, and I'm sure that some other people are saying, oh, he's giving a play call on Brian Hart. No. Considering. And I use that word in particular. Ooh,
we'll I don't know if it's for real when it's a tight game.
See, and that is a very good point that you brought up, because it's, and I actually mentioned this on the one show, they don't play a real game until the fourth game of the season. So it's real easy to let Brian Hartline call it against Indiana and against whatever scrubs you're playing. But when Notre Dame comes to town, when you play Wisconsin, when you are whoever that team is, are you going to be like, all right, I'm taking over? So even if he does give over play calling, it's not the end all be all, because at any moment he could be like, I made a mistake. So we'll see. But at least we have some clarity on what his plan is, even if he's lying, because we'll really never know until we see it and can like analyze who we think is calling plays based on if there's anything new or not.
Right.
All right. So next thing. And this is just an absolute fucking joke. I'm sorry, Dante. I feel bad for you. This is not a good hire at all. Bama's some broke boys, because they've had at least 4 different coaches say no to their offensive and defensive coordinator job. And I just never thought that was going to happen to Nick Saban. I don't know what the hell's going on. Nick Saban just hired Notre Dame offensive coordinator Tommy Rees for the offensive coordinator job at Bama. You could argue with some people have that, oh, we haven't seen him with these level of players and he's gonna have a better quarterback. Okay,
I don't know. I feel like you Notre know Dame who did is top talent.
And also, do you know who had worst talent? Garrett Riley at TCU, who put up like 40 points a game and got the Clemson job. So you can't like, if you're good at your job, you're going to be good.
Yeah.
Right or wrong. Yeah. He's fair not enough. Good at it. Sometimes, he's just not.
Sometimes situations can't help, but usually if you're good, you're good.
And typically getting better talent will make you better. But if you're already mid, having better talent, you're just mid with better talent. And maybe it looks slightly better because the players are better, but it's not gonna put you back to where Bama has been before, where they had a top 5 offense and people, and they're developing. Like, how many wide receivers has Bama put in the league in the last 5 years that were like all playing together? There's not a single one of there's not a player with half of that talent on the roster right now. And instead of getting someone who, one, can recruit that talent back, and two, can utilize the talent you have now, you got a mid-ass OC who's literally only an offensive coordinator because of a different form of nepotism, as in he was the quarterback at that school, so they gave it to him. And you could argue that Brian Hartline got the offensive coordinator the same way, and I will accept that, because he did. But Alabama didn't hire Brian Hartline. It's fine, relatively, I guess, for your school that you grew up at and you played at to give you a shot. But you're Alabama. This is a weird thing to say, but this is Alabama's expectation. You haven't won a national championship in like 2 or 3 years. If you were anyone else, it's like whatever, but you're not. So like the expectation is that you should win the national championship this year. You're not doing that with Tommy Rees. I'm sorry. You're not. So broke boys. And they still don't have a defensive coordinator. And I like previously Nick Saban has this job. Like he's like publicly interviewing people. Previously, Nick Saban has this job. Like he already knows who's next. Like, all right, you're fired. And it's just like, you remember what we were talking about before?
Not fired. They usually are just leaving for
it. Yeah. He gets some other jobs, right? Yeah. But it's normally he has the next guy. And remember I told you, I was like, the cracks start with who they're able to hire as coaches. And they went from Steve Sarkisian, who is mid, he's upper mid, but he's mid, to Bill O'Brien, who's ass, to Tommy Rees. That is a sick, sick 3-in-a-row transition of offensive coordinator. And they have ruined Bama's offense.
Yeah, it's fatigue. That's probably what it is. It's just fatigue.
Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. You can't say a bad thing about Bama. It doesn't take away what they've done.
It'll probably be a turnaround in another 2 years. Like, people will be like, oh, Bama hasn't had anything. And next thing you know, we'll get a top name offensive coordinator, maybe mid defensive coordinator, and then win a national championship. And then the cycle repeats itself. It happens with Ohio State. Before too, where it was like a lull, and then the coaching was looking weird, and then it just flipped around.
Yeah, and that's the thing. This is normal for everyone but Bama. Bama for a long time was above this. So this is you're not hearing me say Bama's going to be trash. They're still going to win 9, 10, 11 games, most likely. It just had to happen. It's just not going to be what they were.
It was bound to happen, and it needed to happen.
Yeah, for honestly, everyone else's sanity.
even theirs.
Yeah, honestly.
Even theirs.
I don't want to talk about this long, because if we do, we won't hit our mark. So maybe we can talk about this more in another episode. Kyrie traded to the Mavs.
I don't know what they're doing, either team. And that's my last bit to say to it. I don't know what either team is doing.
This is the one thing that I have to say, and this is all I'm going to say. First of all, it's Mark Cuban, so whatever. But, like, I just
– oh, he'll pay him.
I can't believe that all of these basketball evaluators and staff people and everything like that forgot that basketball has positions. And I'm so tired of explaining this to people. Positionless basketball doesn't mean there are no positions. It's more about a defensive thing.
Yeah,
it's more position about flexibility.
Yeah.
It's your one guard can play two and potentially three, depending on how tall he is. Your two guard can play two and three. Your three can play three, four, and maybe five, depending on how big he is.
And the two.
Right. Your five can play five and four, and he can shoot. It is not that your point guard can play center, or you still need a primary ball handler. You still should have a shooter. You need one or two people, at least one, who can get down in the post and get rebounds, preferably two, and one of those two can shoot the long two or the three. And then you need another guy who is a 3-and-D guy, or really good handles and can get to the rim and can lead fast. Like you need positions still.
Yeah, like when they say positionless basketball, it's more about a defensive scheme than it is offensive, because it's like you can switch between the 1 and 5.
Right.
Switch every position. That's what they mean by positionless. But offensive-wise, it doesn't make any sense. And that's what I'm saying. This doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense for the Nets, because it's like, so now what are you going to do?
Well, the Nets, I think the Nets are just tired of it because Kyrie's annoying as hell and he asked for the trade.
But KD also wanted out because of how they treated Kyrie. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do now? Because you can't rebuild, and what you did was a rebuild thing, and you can't rebuild with KD. That doesn't make any sense. Kyrie wanted to stay and play with KD. You didn't want to give him the contract extension. You traded him. So what are you doing? And now with the Mavs, you still didn't get the actual help that was needed, which was defense. And then are you gonna give Kyrie the max contract extension he wants? What are you doing? What are we doing?
And on top of that, right? On top of that, Luka is a primary ball handler.
Yeah,
he is.
It can work because it worked with LeBron James. The ball handling or the ball dominance is about the same. It's just they do it differently, but it's about the same. So it can work. It's already worked before.
That's a good point. That's fine. I will take. That's right.
And even in that case, I think Luka's ball dominant, but I think that's by design because there's no one else.
But the one thing that worked, and I could be wrong about this, but I haven't seen it. The one reason that kind of worked is because LeBron surrounds himself with shooters. So you had LeBron and Kyrie, and then they just drove and dished to people. Do they have shooters? Like multiple, not just...
See, but the thing is with that is like, yeah, they do. But what helps is because Kyrie can go get his own bucket. Dinwiddie could do that too, but it's not at the same... I guess gravity is Kyrie. So that's the only thing. Like, it takes the load off in that regard on Luka. But the problem with the Mavs is that no one can guard the perimeter, including Luka. Your superstar is the worst perimeter defensive player I've ever seen. Second. Because James Harden is the worst perimeter defensive
player. James Harden can't spell defense.
And the only reason why it's James Harden is because he doesn't even try. He could be so much better, but he doesn't try at all. Luka's just bad at it. He's just – it's easy pickings. And he knows who he can get it back on to. But it's terrible. Kyrie can play defense from time to time.
You were right about the LeBron thing, but here is one key difference. And I'm not going to say that there's no one on the team that does this because I haven't watched enough. I just know Luka doesn't do it. Luka doesn't move off ball like LeBron did. He does not as much anymore because he's 100. But, like, Luka's not running the floor. He's not catching the lobs. He's not backdoor cutting. Like, so even when Kyrie is handling the ball,
very fair.
Luka's just standing there. Very fair. That was LeBron's prime when he was young. So he was cutting. He was running fast. So you're literally playing. Essentially, you're always playing 4-on-5 because Kyrie cuts a little bit, but, like, he's more going to score when he breaks you down. And I still think he has one of the best handles. Yes, and I think he has one of the best handles in NBA history. But you're almost always playing 4-on-5 because you don't have that guy cutting and setting screens and doing this other kind of stuff. They're both essentially going to be like, oh, I don't have the ball. Which is literally what James Harden does when he doesn't have the ball. Which is why Luka just needs to have the ball because he's not doing anything when he doesn't.
Welcome to now your second round head is going to look a little flashy. That's really all it is.
I just wish basketball be smart.
Like, and again, with the Nets, what are you going to do? Because KD doesn't want to beat her. He's not going to want to beat her now.
Especially not anymore.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? Because he'll sit. He got money. He can sit a year. He can do the exact same thing Kyrie did.
Basically. And this is the last thing I'm going to say about it. The NFL makes a lot of very stupid mistakes with drafting players and trades and things like that. But they almost always do it for a good reason. It's almost always looking at traits or potential. And that's the problem. The NFL sees too much potential in people and doesn't always see where they're at right now. And the NBA, they just see names. Like, nobody thinks about how is this actually going to fit together? Like, how are they actually? And this is why, and I know you disagreed slightly. I think you agreed that they wouldn't win, but you disagreed slightly on not working entirely. This is why I never thought Kyrie and KD would work out. And I admit, I was right about not winning a ring. Their offense was a little bit better than I thought it was going to be. And then I definitely didn't think Kyrie, James Harden, and KD was going to work out.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I knew that would never work because there was no defense. There was no defense. And they had no depth.
So it's just
and that's
like,
the problem with the Nets still. That's the problem with the Mavs and the Nets. Especially with the Mavs, they had no depth before, and you just tatered away two players for one.
Yeah. And bro, and then on top of that, someone said,
they don't find Dwight Howard.
Listen, and at the end.
Or the Warriors.
At the, like,
just sign him.
And at the end of the day, bro, like, the thing that I, like, someone posted the, and I understand, I'm not always the target audience for some of this stuff because I don't watch as much basketball as other people, but I watch enough and I listen to podcasts and I read, so I know a lot of things. They did a starting five and I only knew two of the players, and it was Kyrie and Luka, maybe three, because I can't remember if they said Jalen Brunson. I don't remember, but I definitely didn't know the other ones.
He's
not there no more. So yeah, I knew two of the three, and like, who the hell are these other guys? And then someone tried to say they had a big three, and I'm who's the third? Who's the third in the big three? You got to have a name to have a big three. You have to have some success. It's not just three players.
They just call everybody a big three.
Stupid. Okay. Really quick, because I think the Super Bowl happens before we get on here. Again, Eagles or Chiefs?
I don't want to bet against Patrick Mahomes. I'm going Eagles.
Okay. So I'm picking the Chiefs, and most of my free bets will be on the Chiefs. But there are certain conversations I just don't want to have in mixed company. But you'll understand when I say this vaguely. I'm rooting for the Eagles, and you know why.
Yeah.
Like if you're looking at the quarterbacks, it's like...
I feel like, you know what sucks? I think people don't like Patrick Mahomes because he's good and his wife and brother are annoying. And that's so sad. Because it's like, Patrick Mahomes is great. And I don't know why he gets so much flack, but I do. Because his wife and his brother are annoying.
Yeah. Yes.
And then on top and of the I'm fact not, that he's great.
Yeah.
It's going to be annoying.
I don't hate him. I actually do like him. But when it comes to, like, I don't care about either of them, and I'm picking on, like, random things.
Yeah.
I just like Jalen Hurts better. There are things that I relate to more with him, and it would be cool to see him win a ring.
It's kind of funny. They kind of have the same kind of upbringing. Both, I think, football kids. Both fathers coached. Stuff like that. They're very similar. It's just, Patrick Mahomes is light skin. It doesn't help. It really doesn't help. Like it adds to the annoyance of some people. Like people
the
light skinned men to be annoying.
Yeah. The worst thing that Patrick Mahomes singularly as a person has done that I know of is put ketchup on steak. And that's unforgivable. That's unforgivable. That alone is like, I got a side eye.
I'm not mad at it because I really don't understand. I don't understand that. Like, why like, would you catch up on the steak? This is prime meat. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, like he's cool. I don't got no issues with him.
Ketchup is bottom feeder.
I really like yeah. I think he did it. He brought a lot of light to the Negro Leagues in baseball, and some of that stuff. He like owns a team out there. Like, he does a lot in his city.
Oh yeah, that's true.
He's a great dude. I have no beef with him, but when you put the two together, I'm picking Jalen. I would prefer for Jalen Hurts to win.
It's his wife and his brother, bro. It's
and they're the worst. They're absolutely the worst. Yeah. And just
it's
like,
it's like crazy
that shouldn't
him.
Be an indictment on him.
By them. It shouldn't. But no. It does not help.
No. Not at all. All right. So we're already at 44 minutes. Okay.
These teams are kind of suffering.
Yeah.
Maryland and Wisconsin. We good.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after the ads. What's good, everybody? Welcome back to Langer at Holy Land's I-70 Football Show, where we are on a race against the clock. Let's see if we can finish in 15 minutes. So
think we could be good. We spent so much time on Iowa because the audacity of their coach. That was the only reason why. It probably would have been like easier if he did.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're probably gonna spend like 3 minutes on Wisconsin because none of this is relevant anymore. Because they fired their coach finally.
Fired the coach in the middle of the season too. Early in the season.
Beautiful. Yeah. And listen, as much hate as I had towards him, dislike, whatever, I'm happy that he got his full buyout because they were dumb enough to put it in the contract, so you might as well give him the money. I'm not hating on his wallet. I'm hating on his coaching ability.
I'm hating on his wallet.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so
I'm a hater. Through.
Nebraska finished. Wisconsin finished 7-6, 4-5. They fired. Yeah, it's okay. Like,
yeah, it was better than what we really expected because
they wouldn't have done that with Scott Frost. They fired Scott Frost after a couple of games into the season. Their interim coach. Kind of fixed it a little bit and honestly because the West was so weird, put them close to contention of winning. I think they ended up like the second to last week. So they didn't go into the final week with the chance to win.
It was the second to last
week. To the second to last week, there was a chance. They just needed one or two things to go their way. But ultimately,
they lost that game. Yeah. That's why they were out of it.
But ultimately, they did not do enough. There's really just not a whole lot to talk about with them until we get into previews, because then there's a crap ton of stuff to talk about with them. Yeah. But as far as last year, it's kind of just a wash. They fired their coach. They stuck with a quarterback who wasn't good, who still would be the best quarterback in Iowa history almost.
By far.
At least recent history. I'm not going to pretend I know what Iowa was doing in the early 2000s and in the like 1970s and stuff, but like recent history, the last like 15 to 17 years.
Merckx could have had the same amount of yards and 10 touchdowns and it would have been so much better.
Yeah, honestly.
They would have won they would have been in the Big Ten Championship again. It would have been a rematch again.
Easily. Yeah. Okay, so it's ultimately just a wash. Graham Mertz is no longer there because he just shouldn't
old as hell, right?
No,
I swear he old as hell.
He's not. It just feels like it because he started as a freshman. So he started for 3 years, but yeah, he started as a freshman.
Oh, so I was about to say he's old enough to be gone.
Yes. But you got to think, when you're saying old as hell, there are people who are on their sixth year.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So it's like,
it's a different thing.
Yeah. All right. So Graham Mertz finished last year with 2,136 yards, 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and a 57% completion percentage. That's not good. It's better.
It's the completion percentage I don't like. 19 touchdowns.
Not bad. If it was like 7 interceptions.
Real good.
If it was like 7 receptions and 60% completion percentage, that would be a pretty decent season.
Yeah, that's probably the difference between 7-6 and 8-5.
Yeah, right there, or even 9-4.
Yeah, true, very true.
So, Braylon Allen, who had a weird year, like the numbers sound good, but when you watch them, it was very, very up and down. He just kind of figured it out eventually because he's a good running back. But this also shows how easy it should be to get to 1,000 yards, because he had multiple bad games where it's just like, is this even the same guy? He still ran for 1,200 yards.
Yeah.
Ohio State had two running backs run for 800 or 900 yards, and they both missed games and were injured. Like, you play so many games and you run the ball so much. And
it didn't look good at the end of the season.
So, yeah, going back to Iowa to not have a running back sniff. Oh, my God. That's so bad.
Not even 800 yards, man.
So, Braylon Allen, 1,242 yards, 11 touchdowns, 5.4 yards per carry. This was a decent season for him. Which means, like, if he has a good season, if he has what he's capable of, expect a Chase Brown, expect a that type of season. Showing his freshman year.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be the sophomore slump. You could have a point there, but I think he's 1,300 yard. Double-digit touchdown guy, and that's about the top, I think.
I was going to say 15. That's still 250 to 300 less than Mo Ibrahim, Chase Brown, and Blake Corum, but
I don't think he's going to be one of those guys, though.
I'd say 15. He could get to 15. Because if he plays better in some of these games, and then, like, he does it, if he does, well, he ran good against Ohio State because he had, like, an 80-yard touchdown at the end, but he was trash for most of that game. He was stat padding. He was running back stat padding. Mm-hmm. DK, I'm guessing is how you say his name. No idea who that guy is. Is their leading wide receiver, 689 yards, 6 touchdowns. 96
touchdowns. Don't even know his name. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, the Iowa dude won. Like, what do you
mean?
What are we talking about?
Crazy. 91st in offense, that's not acceptable. And part of that came under an offensive guy who played quarterback. He was supposed to be heralded for his offense. He just didn't have it. And then you brought in the defensive guy who couldn't fix the offense, which not really his fault. Defense was solid, though. They finished 11th in total defense. They finished 18th in stop rate. That's solid. That is enough that if your offense is in the 40s, you could win the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Well, the Big Ten West.
No, you could.
In their best years, they couldn't beat Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. I'm not giving that to them until they do it.
It depends on who they play, because I think they could have beat Michigan. Michigan could have slipped up and lost that game.
I could see that, especially because they almost and probably should have lost to Illinois. And that'd have been a it was a 2-point game. Illinois was a couple of stupid plays away from winning that.
Yeah.
Like, Michigan didn't dominate that. Like, you have anything else on Wisconsin?
No, it's gonna they had a pretty good season, really, and to be in the hunt after firing their coach, and it looked like it was the end. To be in the hunt, pretty good. It's a lot to build on.
And at least in positive, they fired the coach. They hired a new one. They're changing their offense. Good one too. Yeah, they're changing their offense, and who knows if it's going to work, but they're trying to move into where the new Big Ten is going.
Yeah, and going towards changing the offense is the right step in the direction, because I think that was the biggest problem with Wisconsin. Like, they were good. It was just like something about it was missing, and I think it's just a flashier offense.
Yeah. Really quick before we move on to our last one. When's the last time you saw a carry get called?
So it depends on the player. The last time I saw a carry get called, it was Jordan Poole. And that happened. It's happened to him a few times. It's happened to Warriors players the most this season. Before then, never. So if you're talking about before this season, never. Okay. The last time I saw Kerry get called, Allen Iverson didn't have braids, bro. That's
they did not. I'm watching this college basketball game, and dude carried so crazy. It's like, oh, they might not call it there, but he didn't call it. That's why I asked.
Oh, this is,
like, no, that's not a hezzy. That's a carry, my boy.
No, a hezzy. You can hezzy without palming the ball. Like, you're not supposed to go under it. That's carry. But a lot of players do. Ja Morant might be the worst player I've ever seen. When it comes to that. Because his hezzy is a stop. Take the ball like this. Turn it again and then go and dribble. And I'm like, oh, bro, it's such a bad carry to travel. That's how bad it is. Never gets called.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Never gets called. But James Harden does it. So
James Harden carries all the time.
Kevin Durant, LeBron James. LeBron James' favorite move is a carry. Like,
is it a carry when you're shooting though? Because it's in the shooting motion.
Well, it's a travel because he moves because he moves his pivot foot, because he steps out and then gets into shoot motion, which moves both of his feet, which is a travel.
Once they don't call that either. Yeah, you're right. I don't think he always travels, but he does travel a decent amount. Like, I'm picturing, I didn't think it was a carry because it's going in the shooting motion, but he does move them feet.
He moves his feet to get into a shooting motion, which is a travel.
It's not a travel if you're shooting the ball, or if you're just in the NBA.
But if you move your, like, if you, you, yeah, I was about to say, if you move your pivot, because, like, who gets in the I said this before. No one has footwork anymore. The last player I've ever seen that had footwork was Carmelo Anthony.
Yes,
because I would say Kobe, but Carmelo had footwork.
Yeah,
Dwayne Wade had foot. No one has footwork anymore. Mm.
No, not at all.
Dribble,
that's it.
They can get traveling.
They can get downhill. That's it. Mm-hmm. They don't even pump fake right. Like niggas there's no don't ball even fakes.
Know how to niggas don't even know how to do the triple threat correctly. Like oh, your foot is moving all the time. why don't we call this travel?
They also speaking of the triple threat, they also move their pivot foot before they put the ball on the ground. So they travel a lot when they start their drive.
All right, and that's the worst because they'll start it with a travel and then carry.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, let's get into Maryland. They had a good year, and it would have been. And honestly, it would have been better if Tallulah didn't miss a couple of games. They won 8 games, and their quarterback missed.
He could have threw for almost 4,000 yards if he didn't miss a few games.
I know for a fact he missed 2. I think it was 2.5 because I think he got injured in the game, and then he missed 2 games, and then
it might be 3 because I think he got injured in a game twice.
Did he?
I think so. It was towards the end of the season, but I can't fully remember.
So he's missed 2 or 3 games. Still threw for 3,008 yards, 18 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 67% completion percentage. And people would be surprised when I say he's the second best quarterback in the Big Ten. He is. Yards,
only 18 touchdowns is kind of weird.
His wide receivers just gave up on him. Okay. He has 2 5-star wide receivers on that team, and you wouldn't know it if you watch him.
I wouldn't know about looking at these numbers either.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on with
that. He's either spreading everything around like everybody's getting a touch or I don't know.
Yeah, especially because like they score a decent amount too. Like they also could be – I need to look to see how many rushing touchdowns they have as a team. I only put their one – they may run the ball.
Maryland's running back has doubled the amount of touchdowns as Iowa's quarterback.
And he's a freshman.
True. I mean, same thing with Allen from Wisconsin. Like, I'm just, this is ridiculous. Everybody can see it. Quoting DeMarcus Cousins, it's getting ridiculous.
But overall, I mean, like, listen, I have nothing negative to say about Maryland this year at the end of the day because they reached bowl eligibility. Without being in the final game. So last year they were 5-6 and they needed to beat Rutgers and they did. They blew them out. This year they were at bowl eligibility with like 2 or 3 games left. And again, it would have been earlier than that if Tallulah didn't get injured.
Yeah, and I think they had injuries on defense too.
Yeah, so Tallulah doesn't have a lot of passing touchdowns because they run the ball a lot. And the red zone. Yeah. Henby has 10. Yep, Henby has 10. He has 4. And the backup running back has 6. So that's 20 touchdowns. And then there's a couple other people. So in total, they have 23 rushing touchdowns. They have more rushing touchdowns than they do passing.
Yeah.
So
they do a lot of scheming in that way. Everybody can have the ball.
They have 23 rushing touchdowns.
They have a lot of gadget players that can play receiver.
Yeah, they have 23 rushing touchdowns and 21 passing touchdowns. The backup has 3 in the games that he played. So they run the ball. They're pretty even with running and passing. But Tallulah accounted for 22 touchdowns because he has 4 rushing touchdowns. So pretty solid. Roman, I believe his name, Hemby, 989 yards, 10 touchdowns, 5.3 yards per carry. Easily would have been over 1,000 yards.
Mad about those last 11.
Yeah, and it's literally because, as we talked about throughout the season, they just stopped giving him the ball. Like, he would have a game where he runs 150, and then the next game he'd give him, like, 6 carries. And it's like, bro, what the hell? Did y'all not just see what he did?
Was looking great, and they were like,
"Yeah." So he should have had if they would have done what they were supposed to do, he probably would have easily had like 1,100.
Yeah, LeBron James tweeted, "Maybe it's me because they didn't get Kyrie."
That's
it. Kind of is. That's like, it's funny as hell, but I mean, at least you're a little bit of self aware. Maybe he's not. He's not that clever.
Yeah, you can't be that talented and rich and also be funny. Like, you gotta have a flaw.
He's not that self-aware, but
he's also that talented and rich. Who's gonna tell him he's not?
Yeah, because he can't act worth a lick. So he's not.
But again, who's gonna tell him he's not? Neither can The Rock. But are you telling him that?
I would.
Literally. Okay. So speaking of him not getting to that 1,000 yards, he had a game where he had 16 carries for 151 yards. The next game, they gave him 9 carries.
Oh, man.
He had a game where he had 24 for 179. The next game, he had 17 for 107. The two games after that, he had 7 and 9 carries.
Yeah, they're right.
So they ruined him. They messed him up. He definitely should have hit the 1,000-yard mark. Wide receiver. Oh no, my computer's freezing, so it won't let me back to the thing.
No.
Wide receiver Jones, he had 557 yards, 4 touchdowns, 12.7 yards per carry. They were 55th in offense. That's okay. I think with Maryland, you want to be in the 40s.
Better. Yeah, they were better last year.
Yeah, with Maryland, you want to be in the 40s. They were 43rd in total defense. That's probably where they're going to be. If they could get both of them in the top 45, I think that's pretty solid for them. And then they were 50th in stop rate. It's fine. That's fine. You probably want to be close to the top 45. Even if you could get to 43, which is what your total defense was, you'd be happy. But that's fine. Maryland's defense was better than people thought. They played really well against Michigan. They played for like 3 quarters. They played well against Ohio State for a half. Definitely improved. And here's the thing, like, Mike Loxley, I definitely have some problems with him, but he is improving the team, so he's far away from on the list of getting fired, because he did the thing that I wanted him to do and said that they should do. This year, Maryland should get the bowl eligibility before the last game of the season, and they did it. He won 8 games, and his quarterback missed 2 or 3. You can't ask for more, except, you know, giving your good running back the ball consistently, but I think they fired their offensive coordinator, so...
Because it seems like it was like Tua was out, so they ran the ball, and then went to when he came back, you're like, oh
yeah, basically. All right, so at 101, that's pretty solid. Any final thoughts?
Nah, Iowa. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel bad for their fans. No
better anytime soon.
This was a weird tier, because you had Iowa, who just like defended their way into 8 wins, and it was just absolutely disgusting showing. You had Wisconsin, who started out really bad, fired their coach, and then rallied at the end to get the 7-6. And then you had Maryland, who started hot, lost their quarterback, but still ended up salvaging the season and won 8 games. And it's like, 8 wins is a positive for Maryland. 7 is a positive for Wisconsin in this year because of how the season started. And then 8 for Iowa is ill. Like, that is such a confusing ass tier. For them all to be 8, 7, and 8 wins. So whatever. We're gonna get out of here. Listen, I wanna thank you all for listening as always. If y'all listen to next week's podcast, I want you to listen. I want to get paid for it, but I don't know what this says about you. I don't know what it says about me and Dante for speaking on this podcast. I think we really should just not do it at all. So we appreciate you listening. If you're going to like waste an hour of your day next week listening to that, have mercy on your soul. We'll try to make it as interesting as possible. But as always, thank you for listening. We'll catch you next week.